Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Breaking News, Weekly News. Why did I say breaking? Here with your host, Emily, also known as Bravo and Botox. I hope you are all enjoying a fantastic summer and that you've had a great week since we, spoke last. I don't know what else to call it because I guess I'm speaking and you're listening, but, there's a connection. Feels like a conversation. Love it. And just a couple things before we get into the news. If you are interested in Ladies of London, if you are, watching Dubai and you like Caroline Stanbury, highly recommend. Ladies of London is on Peacock. You can watch it on Hey You. You can find it anywhere. There's only 3 seasons and I am recapping it on the Patreon. So that's patreon.com/BravoandBotox. We've done the first 3 episodes, okay? So, you'd watch the first 3. You can listen to the recaps for those. And then episodes 4 and 5, I'm going to be covering this week. Well, tomorrow, Thursday. So the episodes come out on Thursdays. So, stay tuned for that and keep an eye out for it. If you're interested, sign up. And, I'm also doing the Richard Sisters, continuing with that. If you didn't notice or you missed it somehow, I did post the part 6 on Sunday. I think it was kind of late on Sunday that I posted it because it was such a busy weekend, but I did manage to get it up in time. And, it's more of Paris in Love season 1, talking about Kathy's role in it specifically. And Kyle made some appearances too, and on Paris in Love, so she's in there as well. And then I also talked about a chapter of House of Hilton that I didn't cover in the original Richard Sisters deep dives, like parts 1, 2, and 3, because it was more about Kathy raising Paris, and I was originally starting with more like the big Kathy. So, check that out. If you missed it, make sure you subscribe and then you won't miss anything. You can also listen to this podcast on YouTube, by the way. So please subscribe. I have a YouTube channel. Just search for the Bravo Papers. It's up there. Even if you're not going to listen, subscribing is just helpful to me because it helps me with like the algorithm and all that kind of stuff. All that, whatever, however the hell that works. But I know it helps. That's all I know. Okay. So if you could do me a favor and sign up or subscribe on YouTube, that would be fantastic. And as always, I feel like I haven't mentioned it in a while, but if you could please leave me a 5-star rating, it would be fantastic. I am always trying to grow the podcast and, the better it does, the better it can, again, go up in the podcast algorithms and get more new listeners, which is what I'm always looking for, to expand the audience and, have more people come and have a good time listening to Bravo News and Richard Sisters and all that fun stuff. If you know anyone you think would like it, share it away, please. Okay, so we're going to get into the news. I'm going to start with Vanderpump Rules because, Tom Sandoval is Tom Sandovaling. And he, of course, took back his lawsuit. And that was kind of one of the biggest news stories of the week. So, not the biggest, actually. I would say Penny suing Ariana and Katie is probably the biggest. But I'm going to start with the Tom one because it's kind of a continuation of last week. So pretty much there was so much backlash and outrage against Tom Sandoval, including from myself, because I went on like a 45-minute tangent about it last week, which I'm sure you heard. But, after all the backlash, a petition started up. So I noticed on Reddit that, there was a change.org petition to like fire Sandoval, get him off Bravo forever. Like, we don't want to see him on any shows again. And that started to circulate. I don't know how much steam it was getting. Like, I shared it to my Instagram stories in case anybody wanted to sign it. But at the end of the day, you know, it was, when I looked, it was like maybe like 1,500 to 2,000 people had signed. But it's one of those things, like, sometimes when you have this much outrage on the internet, and then it gets to the point where, like, people are like, I'm not watching The Traitors, I'm not watching next season, starting a petition, people are signing it, it's starting to gain momentum, you know, news stories are coming out about it. Like, that's when you as a celebrity, you know, you're in trouble. Like, that's when it's, this is not like the kind of thing that people will just forget about and move on next week when something else happens. No, this is like, people are pissed, they're going to take a stand, and they're going to kind of follow it through to, you know, fruition, right? So this was like, I think Tom Sandoval saw that, even though he deleted his Instagram, but it doesn't matter because he's got publicists and he's got people working for him and he's got friends, and, like, you know, him not being on Instagram is irrelevant, right? So I'm sure he was advised to walk this back. Okay. And I don't think it was just from his publicist or friends. I think he got a call from Bravo, because I think Bravo was like, listen, you need to fix this. Probably production, probably Alex Baskin or whoever the fuck, right? But they probably called him and were like, you need to fix this, because otherwise you're done. Like, you're not, we are not going to be able to sign a contract with you for the next season. He probably maybe got a call from Traitors producers. Like, this is going to hurt the next season of Traitors. People are saying they're not going to watch. It's bad press, whatever. It was just all around, right? And I'm sure his manager or whoever was like, dude, you're ruining your career. So he took it back. And in classic Tom Sandoval fashion, he blamed someone else. So this is his statement. I'm going to read it. Last Tuesday afternoon, my attorney, Matt, I don't know if I'm saying this right, I'm sorry, Garagos, whose advice I trusted, called me about the cross complaint in the lawsuit against myself and Ariana. He assured me that the action was customary and strictly preventative in these types of lawsuits and urged me to agree to it. The words new lawsuit or suing were not articulated to me. I should have done more of my due diligence on the matter. Upon realizing what this action actually means, I have removed Matt Garagos from my legal team. In no way am I suing Ariana. The action against Ariana brought on my behalf is being removed. I hold no ill will or vindictiveness toward Ariana. Now, by removing both the cross complaint and the attorney who recommended it, I hope to get through this case quickly so that Ariana and I can both finally move on with our lives. Okay. I was shocked by this, I have to be honest. When I first saw it, I was shocked that he removed the lawsuit. Like, I'm not shocked that he's, you know, blaming his lawyer or someone else, but I was definitely shocked that he removed the lawsuit, because, you know, I expect the worst of him always. Like, my expectations are in the gutter, right? So I was surprised by that. However, the more I, you know, read the statement and sat on it for a few minutes and thought about it, I was like, okay, it's actually not that shocking, because the only thing that can get Sandoval to, you know, apologize, walk things back, etc., is the threat of no longer being famous. Like, the threat of no longer having a career that's, like, in the public eye or on TV or, like, fame related. So, you know, I don't think he walked this back because he saw how wrong it was, or because he gives a shit about Ariana. I don't think he cares about the fans' opinions. He only cares about how it can influence his career and his level of fame and his, you know, kind of pathetic dreams of rock stardom or whatever. So I really think that, you know, he got a call from production. He was encouraged to do this, and he saw somebody, you know, probably put it to him in black and white, like, you're screwing yourself. And maybe he got that. Now, in terms of the whole lawyer blaming thing, I don't believe that. I just don't believe that. I don't believe anything Tom Sandoval says, but do I believe that he didn't understand that he was suing Ariana? No, I think he knew that. Okay. Like, maybe he didn't know the backlash was going to be as intense as it was. That I could see, because he kind of lives on like a different planet in like a different reality. So yeah, so that I could definitely see him not expecting that level of backlash, but he knew what he was doing. He knew that a cross complaint, like he knew a cross complaint is suing. Like, he's trying to play dumb here. And here's the thing, I hate to quote Bethany, but you can't play stupid and smart at the same time, right? Which he's always trying to act like he's, you know, knows more than everyone else. Now, I do, all that being said, I do legitimately think he's not that smart, right? I've said that in the past. So I do think he's not the brightest, but, you know, all that being said, I think he knew what was happening. I think his lawyer probably advised him that this is like the best next step for them, you know, to have any sort of success in this lawsuit. And that was kind of all he was thinking about, and probably thought, okay, yeah, I'm going to get some bad press, and then, but it'll like, you know, it'll wash over and then whatever. Because he, the biggest admittance of guilt here is that him and his girlfriend deleted their Instagrams. It's like, why are you deleting your Instagram if you didn't know that this was suing? Like, I don't buy that. Okay. And I'm not the only one who doesn't buy that, because a lot of fans were saying that. And somebody posted, I guess, on Victoria. So Victoria is Sandoval's girlfriend, in case you didn't know. Somebody posted on her Instagram about, and said, like, a comment, why did you shut your Instagram account down? And Victoria replied and said, we both deactivated our Instagrams once we found out what the filing really meant. We both were shocked and did not want hate and criticism from the public on something when he needed to focus on fixing it immediately without any distractions. So he made a statement knowing he was going to activate his Instagram once it was finished and the issue was resolved before the backlash came in. Hopefully everyone understands. I mean, she's the brains behind the operation, I think. Like, it seems like she's a little bit better when it comes to like publicity, media training, saying the right things. Like, even in that, when she was responding to Billie Lee, I remember saying things about like her going into like Ariana's space or Ariana's room. And Victoria was like, I would never do that. I respect Ariana. I respect their relationship. Like, she knows what to say. And even though Tom Sandoval, like when he started dating her, tried to make it out like she's like not really like on social media a lot and she doesn't pay attention to things, she doesn't watch the show. Bullshit. I think this woman pays so much attention. And I think she's kind of good at navigating this stuff much better than he is. Okay. She's not perfect, because nobody is. And clearly she's done some dumbass things, including dating Tom Sandoval. But at the end of the day, like, you know, she knew how to craft that response. Do I believe it? Still no. I still don't believe that, you know, they deleted them because they just wanted to deal with it quickly and swiftly and blah, blah, blah. No, I don't think so. Because it was just, the timing was just, they deleted it and then the news story dropped. Like, that doesn't make sense. It should have been the other way around. It should be like the news story dropped, you see it, you see some backlash, and then you delete. Like, it just, the order of it doesn't make sense. Now, unfortunately, this is not the end of Ariana's legal issues, because now it has come to light that Ariana is being hit with another lawsuit, and Katie is being hit with this one as well, because it involves something about her from Chef Penny. So we remember Chef Penny, you know, she appeared on the show at the sandwich tastings, you know, helped with like getting something about her started. And there's been some, you know, contention between them. It seems like, for the most part, it seems like I think that Ariana and Katie needed someone who, you know, knew food and knew restaurants and, you know, had that kind of experience to guide them. And I think probably Lisa Vanderpump like gave them that guidance. And I think when this was happening, you know, I think Katie and Ariana were in a, like, I don't know what word to use. This is the only one I can think of. I think they were kind of in like a weaker, quote unquote, spot where it was like they needed more help, guidance, etc. And then I think they kind of, you know, with Ariana's like publicity status going up and Katie's too, if you think about it, I think, and maybe like financially and what happened with the show and the show blowing up, like, you know, maybe they just kind of like, I just feel like maybe they grew more confidence in their decisions and the way that they wanted to do things. That's what I really think happened. And I don't think that that means that like Chef Penny is necessarily evil, but I do think that Chef Penny's like, I know more than you two. The vision should be my vision. You said you were going to follow what I said, and now you two want to do it this way, and this is your vision. And like, I think they just had disagreements about what the vision was for the brand and the business. And I think Penny is the type who has trouble relinquishing control, especially to people who she sees as like kind of beneath her in terms of experience, expertise, restaurant industry, whatever, right? Cooking, whatever. I'm not saying they are beneath her. I'm saying that's how she sees them. So I do think that Penny, you know, was like, well, who the fuck are you to say that we should do it this way? And they're like, well, yes, we did hire you to help us with the food and to be part of it. But at the end of the day, the vision is our vision. We're not going to change like this, that, the other. Again, I don't know what the little details are of that, but I'm sure there are little details, right? So, you know, and the other thing that happened was that Penny had, I guess, registered the trademark for something about her. And there was some drama about that, that I know I covered in a past episode, but, you know, people were like, well, why did she register the, it was the copyright or the trademark? I can't remember. So, you know, the whole thing's been a mess. Okay. So in regards to this lawsuit, in new legal docs obtained by TMZ, the Vanderpump Rules star and her co-star Katie Maloney are accused of reneging on a business agreement surrounding their popular sandwich shop, Something About Her. So according to Penny, and she's the one who filed the lawsuits, Ariana and Katie failed to uphold their end of the agreement when she took on the role of COO / director of culinary at the West Hollywood restaurant. As Penny put it, back in June 2023, she was promised a 10% partnership if she helped develop and operate Something About Her. Because of this promise, Penny stated she performed substantial work to bring Something About Her to life, including filing trademarks for the company. Okay, that was it. So she filed trademarks for them, which I guess that explains why she, but it seems like Ariana, I don't know. I feel like maybe Ariana and Katie might have been annoyed that she went ahead and filed them, because then like her name is on those legal docs. That was what I was kind of getting from what I've read. So Penny, who fans have seen on the show, said she was supposed to be paid $7,500 a month until January, where her rate was then supposed to be increased to $10,000 a month. Wow, that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot, especially like when you haven't opened yet and you're not like making the money yet, right? Because they opened, like they opened this year. And I'm assuming this is like, it says June 2023 and then, okay. Anyways, I don't know. That seems like a lot. Maybe, again, I'm not an expert on this though. So maybe that is what she was supposed to be paid. Maybe that is what the agreement was. I have no idea. I also don't know, you know, why Katie and Ariana would maybe agree to such a high fee, but maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe they had the money for that. I have no idea. Maybe they had that from their funding. I don't know. So Penny has alleged that Ariana and Katie have since denied the existence of her partnership. So, I mean, I mean, if you didn't have it in writing, that can get messy, right? But there's plenty of evidence to back up her claims. This is why Penny has gotten the courts involved. She's looking for a judge to uphold the terms of the agreement and that she's properly paid for the work she did. Okay. So she, I guess she's she's looking for back pay. Like, she's looking for pay from the work that she did maybe up until the, you know, up until their partnership or their agreement or working together dissolved, basically, right? So, you know, I really think this is a case of like, they didn't agree on the vision. And then I think they wanted to kind of cut Penny loose. And she was like, fine, if you're going to cut me loose, though, you owe me this much money. And they were like, well, we never agreed to that amount per month. Like, it doesn't seem like they maybe had a, like a written, like, it doesn't obviously seem like they had a written agreement of like, this is how much we're paying Penny. Now, the other thing too, that I have not mentioned that I think could be happening is that they didn't think maybe it was going to be this successful on its own with like the whole Scandoval thing happening and Ariana blowing up. You know, it could be a little bit of like, well, we don't really need you and we don't want to give you 10% because we don't need to anymore. Like, I know that kind of sounds bad or sounds like I'm making like Katie and Ariana out to be like these like cutthroat, evil, like business people. But I mean, that kind of stuff does happen in business, right? Kind of reminds me of that movie. What's it called? The Social Network, where I'm sure it's a lot more complex and nuanced than I'm making it all out to be. But it reminds me of like, you know, he was like working with his best friend and all that stuff. And then when they like didn't need him anymore and the company outgrew him, you know, they made him sign that contract and they really like fucked him over financially. So, and again, I'm not saying Ariana and Katie are doing that. I'm on their side generally, to be honest, but we shall see what happens. And oh God, poor Ariana. With fame and with rising fame and success does, you know, come problems. More money, more problems, right? Isn't that what Notorious B.I.G. said? Okay, so we also have, in relation to all of this, a story from Kristen Doty and her boyfriend, Luke. So they were on their podcast and Kristen had something to say about Sandoval. So she said basically that Sandoval texted her and invited her to his birthday. And then he also basically wanted to come on her podcast to clear his name regarding the whole like Billy and Victoria drama that went down. And Kristen on the podcast is like, well, how dare you ask me to come on my podcast to clear your name? And Kristen goes on to kind of talk about how like, would it bring like a lot of money to them in terms of like downloads and listens and all that kind of stuff? Yes, but she doesn't care because, you know, she's not going to have this guy on after what he did to Ariana and on, you know, and all that. Now, Tom Sandoval has responded and he put on his Instagram story, really, Kristen Doty, I had the audacity to ask, because she said he had the audacity to ask to come on my podcast. I know this really didn't come from Luke minutes after I made a statement. By the way, always have love for Luke. And then he posts a text message from Luke to him that says, so this is Luke speaking. So the text says, hey man, Kristen and I are just about to record a podcast coming out later today. Saw your post and Kristen says, we're going to talk about it. Would you like to quote unquote call in or say anything else about the whole ordeal? For the record, I told her that it's probably a lawyer move to separate him from Ariana in dumb Rachel lawsuit. Okay, so he doesn't look good. Doesn't look good for Luke. Like, I don't know. I don't trust this guy. Like, I've never, I didn't get a good vibe from him. And a lot of people didn't on the Valley of Kristen's boyfriend, Luke. A lot of people are like, this guy's like, something's weird about this guy. He just gives, like, he acts like he's all, you know, man of the woods who's, you know, going fishing and living in the mountains and hates LA and, oh, I hate California and all the shallow people and da da da. But then on the other hand, he's seems pretty fame thirsty. Like, even this text to Tom Sandoval to me is very, you know, I'll kiss Tom Sandoval's ass or say whatever I need to say to get him to call into the show, because that'll get us more downloads and more listens. And you know, and make the podcast more successful, which, look, listen, I'm not blaming anyone for trying to make their podcast more successful, but did you run this by Kristen? Like, at the end of the day, your girlfriend is the one who's famous, and your girlfriend is the reason anyone listens to this podcast in the first place. That, and, like, you know, the whole Scandoval thing that kind of helped all the Vanderpump People's podcasts get bigger. Listen, so, you know, he's just a little, like, it feels like he's going behind her back with this. Oh, God. I hope they had a fight about this on camera. Like, not like a fight, but some sort of conversation. I wonder if, because I know they're, I'm pretty sure they're filming right now. So I'm wondering if this is being filmed or if this is like part of the storyline for Kristen and her boyfriend. I really wonder, because it doesn't look great. And it just makes me kind of like not trust Luke more than I already did. Because I don't think that Kristen would fuck with having Sandoval on her podcast, but it seems like Luke is not in that camp, I guess. So in other unexpected Vanderpump Rules type of news that involves David Arquette, which I never would have guessed. David Arquette was on Watch What Happens Live, and I guess he was asked about working with Lala, because I guess they had worked together on a movie set at one point, I think when she was with Rand. And basically he said she was not the friendliest to me, and says Lala gave him attitude and that she just wasn't the friendliest in general. So people have been like, yeah, not surprised. I mean, who knows what the situation was, but I'm wondering if this is like one of the roles that she got because of Rand, and that maybe she like thought she was hot shit because she's like the producer's girlfriend or whatever. I could kind of see that. I really could. Now, Lala has responded, because, you know, this ended up kind of, you know, going around a lot on social media, and a lot of people were reposting it, and, you know, Bravo and Watch What Happens Live posted it. So Lala in her Instagram stories put at David Arquette, "I apologize if I was not friendly to you on the set of Spree. I'd like to point out I was on set with many people, you being one of them, who are well-known established actors. I am a girl on reality TV. I felt intimidated and a bit like I did not belong, all while being incredibly grateful for the opportunity. I'm sorry if that came off as an attitude. It was not my intent." Okay. Now, yeah, I could see that. But then it's like, wouldn't David Arquette or whoever describe you as more like standoffish, nervous, or shy? Like, to say someone has an attitude is, I don't know, to me that's pretty specific. Again, though, I don't know. Like, I'm leaning towards not believing Lala, because she's kind of shown her true colors many, many times. You really do never know. But I don't know. I don't think it looks great for her, but whatever. I think it's the kind of thing that people will just kind of forget about and move on from, unlike, you know, lawsuits against the ex that you cheated on, Tom. In other news, Sheena was interviewed about the next season of Vanderpump Rules, and she said that, you know, she just doesn't see how the show can come back with every single person on the cast, or can come back with everyone. And I'm assuming she's talking about Tom Sandoval, because who else could she be talking about? Or at least, like, how can, you know, we go forward with Ariana and Tom both on the cast? Like, maybe that's what she means. But I'm assuming, based on like her response to the lawsuit, even though it's been dropped, but still her response to the lawsuit and her response to just everything, I'm assuming, you know, that's who she's talking about. And then she talks about how, you know, she's really excited to, like, you know, have the show come back and have all the girls and have like a girl power season. And I'm like, Sheena, you're so transparent. It's embarrassing. Like, Sheena just never stops secondhand embarrassing herself. Well, I guess it's firsthand for her, secondhand for me and everyone else. But it's just, you were like, where was this attitude last season? the only reason she's even saying this, and we all know, is because of all the hate and backlash. And now Tom's lawsuit, which is just was just like, you know, the cherry on the cake. So or on the sundae or whatever. So she's just, Sheena, stop. Just stop. OK, we're done with you. And Ariana is going to be hosting Love Island USA reunion, season 6 reunion. So that's on August 19th. So if you are a Love Island fan, watcher, very excited for that. She has done such a fantastic job this season. So I say that after not watching it. I only didn't watch it because I just legit cannot. I can barely find time to like record these podcasts and, you know, my daughter's on summer holidays and it's just like I'm like entertaining her 24/7 and it's just I just can't. Who knows, I might binge it, you know, if I get the chance. I would love to. I'm not like anti watching it. I actually want to, but I just haven't been able to. But based on the clips I've seen, and I have watched all her little outfit walk-ins like 50,000 times over because she looks so good, I just know she did a great job and everybody says she did. So yeah, congratulations, Ariana. Just wanted to end the Vanderpump Rules portion with something a little bit more positive before we go to the Valley. We haven't had Valley news in a little while. This isn't like a huge story, but it's something. Something that I wonder if we're going to be seeing next season, which is that Brittany and Jax have been hit with a 35K tax lien on their home. Yikes. So this is why Jax works so hard when he's filming the Valley to, you know, stir up shit and be an asshole, basically. But a 35K state tax lien has been placed on Brittany and Jax Taylor's home in the Valley. This is especially complicated since they are now, you know, estranged, separated, whatever. And, you know, Brittany and her son Cruz have been living in Airbnbs for her mental health. So that's got to be costing them a pretty penny. So Daily Mail obtained documents that reveal a state tax lien has been placed on the couple's $1.9 million Valley Village home by the California Franchise Tax Board. The lien was filed on June 12, 2024. The amount is $35,000, as I said. I just think it can't be good. You know, they're paying their mortgage, they're paying for Airbnbs. Now they have these tax issues. Plus, they're in the middle of a divorce. I mean, the only kind of, I guess, ray of sunshine is that they now have the Valley, which they're at least getting like paychecks for, and the Valley's filming again. So we know they're getting paid and the Valley's doing well, had a great first season. And, you know, having a successful show is going to lead to other opportunities and sponsorships and things. So I guess we will see. But, you know, they're also coming out of like years of being unemployed. Not that they weren't making money, like, you know, I know Brittany had the weight loss sponsorship, Jenny Craig, and, you know, I think they had Jax. I almost forgot Jax's name for a second, guys. Jax was on House of Villain, so they've had some things going on, but, you know, I could see maybe the two of them living outside of their means a little bit, or, you know, when they weren't expecting to lose their jobs on Vanderpump Rules so suddenly, you know, falling behind on stuff. And yeah, I could see that. And I don't think that living the type of lifestyle that they live is cheap, right? It's just not. All right. So let's go on to some summer house news. So Lindsay Hubbard is having a girl. So congratulations to Lindsay. She posted a video. It was her and her, I don't know, boyfriend, I guess we're calling him boyfriend, baby daddy, whatever, on a trip. And they came back to their hotel room and he had some like bouquets of flowers and some pink balloons. A lot of people are like, oh, she's really milking this pregnancy and so extra. And I'm like, I think this is pretty low key, like to just, she came back to her hotel room. And there's some pink balloons and it's a video of her being like, oh my God, we're having a girl. That is, to me, very low key for Lindsay Hubbard or for like a reality star or influencer in general, Because, I mean, nowadays, like, regular people are, like, doing these crazy gender reveals where they're, like, starting forest fires and blowing things up and, you know, doing crazy shit. And, like, and it's just gotten so out of hand and out of control and stupid. I appreciated this. I appreciated it was simple. It was sweet. It wasn't, like, a big fireworks show or something crazy. Like, that's all you need. Okay, here's some balloons. Yay. Like, that's good. So I thought it was pretty low key for Lindsay. She wrote, "This was truly the most special moment of my pregnancy. My boyfriend found out the gender first and then revealed it to me in the sweetest way while we were traveling in Europe. We left Milan on June 9th and took a car to Lake Maggiore. Sorry, I'm the worst at pronouncing things. I'm sorry, guys. He organized ahead of time for the hotel to set up our room with flowers and balloons to surprise me with when we walked in. It is hard to surprise me, but not only did he pull it off, he crushed it." Oh, that's shade at Carl, using the word crushed. She never misses an opportunity to shade Carl. Okay. "We couldn't be more excited that our little cub is a baby girl." All right. Nice. Congratulations. And speaking of Carl, Carl has been photographed with Sierra. So they're filming for Summer House and they stopped by Hampton Kitchen, I guess, to film like a one-on-one scene. And, you know, some people were like, "Ooh, is something going on between them?" Probably not. They're filming because they're on a show together. It's probably just like a conversation scene. And, you know, Sierra had mentioned that her dad was an alcoholic and she's dealt with addiction. So maybe they were talking about that and Carl's sobriety. I have no idea. Although I've always kind of thought something could happen with them. I just always, like, low-key felt like she was into him. And I did tweet, like, this last season, I did put up a tweet where I was like, I think one day in the future we're going to see Carl and Sierra together. I just have a feeling. I could be completely wrong, but she also likes to go for, like, kind of toxic men. So, you know, that would also fit. So I don't know, guys. I could see it. I really could. And again, I could be completely wrong, but you heard it here first. Okay. Again, I don't think it would happen this fast. Like, it might be like a friendship that grows over time kind of thing, but yeah. Okay. So let's go on to Real Housewives of Orange County. Because, you know, Tamra is tweeting up a storm as she does. So, you know, she's talking about her conflict with Shannon, and Shannon made a comment about how she was mad because Tamra, you know, was seemingly like supporting Alexis or being friends with her and made, like, you know, a comment on one of Alexis Bellino's posts with, like, clapping hands emojis or something. And Shannon, I guess, was kind of like taken aback and was like, "Oh, what, you're friends with her after she's like dating my ex now?" Right. So, you know, Shannon's talked about that in interviews, etc. So then Tamra posted and said, "Shannon knew Alexis and I made up at BravoCon and were speaking. I even said on stage at the Tres Amigas show back in Phoenix that I wanted Alexis back on RHOC. This was before Alexis had even met John. The post of Alexis that I liked and commented on wasn't in support of her dating John. It was actually the opposite." So then Tamra shows a screenshot of the post from 33 weeks ago. And it's like, you know, Alexis talking about shopping with her 16-year-old and saying she doesn't let rumors or BS get in her way. "I'll be the first to let you know when anything changes in my relationship life. Until then, we live, laugh, and love." And then Tamra commented with two clapping hands emojis. So, okay, but that caption, Tamra, kind of sounds like Alexis is referencing the possibility that she's dating John, because there were rumors that they were dating for a long time before it was confirmed. Like, they were seen together at the Quiet Woman and then they were seen somewhere else and people were, like, walking somewhere, I remember. So you knew it was more than that. Like, you know that that post is in reference to her relationship rumors with John. And Tamra probably knew that they were starting to see each other, even if they weren't official. I don't know. I just don't believe this. And I just don't believe Tamra. And I think Tamra knew. Like, Tamra knew full well. Okay. And then somebody else said, why is Tamra so close with Alexis? Didn't she lose over 500K because of the Alexis Bellino's lawsuit? And Tamra's like, oh my God, for the last time, Alexis didn't sue me. How many times can I make this clear? Do you really think I'd be friends with somebody who sued me? So people have pulled up the legal documents because it's kind of like, well, they're out there. So why aren't we just looking at them to clear this up? Now, Alexis is not officially like suing Tamra and Shannon on these documents. She's listed as one of the like interested parties, but not that I'm on Alexis's side, because I'm not, but that doesn't really mean anything. Every like lawyer I've seen comment and everything I've found kind of just says it really just is anyone that could have any relationship to the people involved. They could be called upon as like a witness or whatever. Like, it doesn't mean that she's also suing. Okay. You know, and Shannon maintains, I saw her name on those documents. Maybe that's what she saw and she didn't like understand what she was seeing, or she didn't, you know, she looked at it quickly. And I have no idea what the situation is and just made some assumptions. I don't know. That could happen. So, yeah. So that's what Tamara's referring to there. And then, you know, Tamra also was kind of getting some beef about like, well, you were so mad at Heather last season and now all of a sudden you're like good friends with her and then bad mouthing Shannon. So Tamra said the reason I was so mad at Heather last year had a lot to do with off camera conversations. Well, did it? Or are you just trying to take down Heather because you needed a storyline and you needed to come back with a big bang? I don't know. Okay. Then Tamra says, Shannon told me that Heather was saying bad stuff about me during season 16, including that she was only friends with me because she was afraid of me. I mean, that could be true. Like, honestly, I do think a lot of Tamara's castmates are afraid of her because she will drop your secrets. She will use anything against you. She doesn't really have any scruples. There's no line she won't cross. Like, yeah, I think people are afraid of her. And I do think Heather's afraid of her because I bet Tamra knows some things. And we know that no one cares more about their like perfect image than Heather. Okay. And Tamra tried it with Heather last season. Like, she fully tried it. And I think she did mention like the cheating rumors with Terry or whatever. And like, Heather doesn't want that mess. So she's going to make nicey nice. Okay. Okay, sorry. And then Tamra says, Heather was saying bad stuff about me during season 16, including that she was only friends with me because she was afraid. Other than what was brought up on camera last season, I didn't say anything else to Shannon. Okay. Tamra is really like, she's been on the defense big time on social media because I don't know what she really expected this season. Like, Tamra's not one who seems to care that much about being like a fan favorite. Like, she'll lean into the villain role, which is one thing I actually like about her, but I do think that she also likes to be right. So I do think that she will, you know, she'll tweet and tweet, and it's kind of like two birds with one stone for Tamra, because it's more publicity, it's more, you know, ratings for the show. And then she also gets to, you know, continue pleading her case. But I do think she's probably getting maybe more backlash than she expected, because I think she thought people were going to be hating on Shannon more than they are for the DUI. So Jen is also speaking out in interviews. And she said the Tamra judge is also a problem when she drinks, so kind of shouldn't be talking about Shannon. And Jennifer says, Tamra talks about Shannon's drinking problem, and I get that it's vastly different, but Tamra is a problem when she drinks. We all suffer the wrath of her when she drinks too much. I mean, yeah, that's true. We've seen that. I think that was one of the things with, like, you know, the way when Shannon was, like, criticizing Gina, because it was kind of like, well, Shannon, you drink a lot too. This could happen to you if you don't keep it together. And then it did. I mean, I hope that no one else on this cast drinks and drives, because we've had enough of them. But, you know, I guess it could happen to anybody. But I mean, it isn't the same. Like, her being a bitch is not the same as like drinking and driving, where you could literally kill someone. So it's a little bit different, but I do understand what Jen is saying. It's like you get like messy drunk and like beyond and like crazy hammered, and you're criticizing somebody else a lot for their drinking and saying they should quit. And it's kind of hypocritical. Like, I do still get what Jen is saying. Okay, so let's talk about Beverly Hills news, because Mauricio was seen kissing another woman, which not really another woman because they're not, Kyle and him are not together, but basically Kyle, there's this airport picture that's been floating around everywhere of Kyle kissing some girl who looks a lot younger than him. According to Dumois, her name is Nikita Khan. He was kissing her at an airport in Greece. She is a 33-year-old actress, model, and entrepreneur. And yeah, that's, I think that's probably going to be hard for Kyle. As much as people are like, Kyle is, you know, she's moved on, she's with Morgan, all this other stuff. I think Kyle's thing with Morgan, listen, and this is just my opinion, I could be wrong. I think Kyle's thing with Morgan is sort of like a, my husband cheats on me all the time with these younger women. You know, I'm feeling shitty about myself. I'm kind of having a midlife crisis a little bit. And I really think that that's kind of it. Like, this is like something different. You know, let me kind of show the world like men are shit and I'm done with them and whatever, you know, but really she's not gonna like, I don't know. I think this is like exciting and new for her, but I don't think she's over Mauricio. I've always thought that. Like, I think she still, because that happens, like you still love someone, but you know that they're wrong for you or bad for you or that they've hurt you and that you have to let them go. So I just feel like she, I don't know. I just feel like she left him because she had to. She couldn't deal with the cheating anymore, but she still loves him. Now, that doesn't mean that she can't have like some feelings for Morgan, or she's not like excited about Morgan and she's not exploring that. But I don't think she's as over him as he's over her. Like, I think he's been over it for like forever. And that it was more just like, you know, a business image thing. And I think he's just always been trash. And listen, I'm not like a big Kyle Richards fan. Ask anyone, I'm really not a Kyle Richards fan. But there's one thing I will take her side on. It's that I think Mauricio is a piece of shit. I think he cheated on her the entire marriage. I hate when I see people on social media being like, well, he's allowed. They're not together anymore. She's off gallivanting with Morgan. Yeah, everyone knows that. Everyone knows that. That doesn't mean that she's not allowed to have feelings, though. You can't tell people how to feel. Just because he's allowed to date other people and kiss people doesn't mean that she isn't hurt. She spent 25 years or whatever with this man. Like, she's father or mothered four of his kids. Like, they had a life together, and I think she's always truly loved him. And if it was up to her, you know, they would have been in a faithful, committed relationship their whole lives. And like, I think he's really, I don't know, I think he's really an asshole. And I really honestly think that he's just fucked around behind her back ever since he got any sort of like power or status or whatever. And I think, you know, her coming on Housewives kind of made that worse because he got more attention, and that's it. I really, you know, so I think she has every right to still feel hurt about this. I do, even though they're not together. Anyways, just my opinion. But apparently she is bothered by this. So he was also seen, there's like some TMZ pictures. He was seen with her at Scorpios Beach Club in Mykonos, where they shared a cabana together for a few hours before holding hands on their way out. Okay. Listen, Kyle, you don't really, though, I hope she knows that even if he starts dating this woman and they fall in love and she becomes his girlfriend and blah, 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 he's going to cheat on her too. So who cares? Or just, you know, let her learn the hard way. So then they were filming on Beverly Hills. They were filming Sutton's fashion show. And, you know, Kathy was there. They were all there. And there's this really funny scene because Kathy's like, She's standing on like the edge of the runway, like chatting with someone. And then all of a sudden the model comes out and like Kathy, she's bent over talking to someone. So her ass is like right out. And the model is like, oh, excuse me. And just kind of laughs and like walks around her. And Kathy's like, oh shit. Like didn't even notice the model was behind her. It's kind of funny. Now Kathy was interviewed as well, while they were filming for this event. And she said, yeah, she had to calm Kyle down after those pictures came out and Mauricio was seen like kissing this other woman. And, you know, she said she had to reassure her that, you know, this was bound to happen. He can technically do what he wants to do. And, you know, but all that being said, it was still hard for her because, you know, she still loved him and it hurt her to see Kyle hurt and all that kind of stuff, but it is what it is. And yeah. And that she's really encouraging Kyle to get back out there. So I guess they're still, I don't know, maintaining this, like Kyle's not with Morgan. It's just so annoying. Like, and if she's really not, just make it obvious, like stop dropping hints that you're with her and that it's more than just a friendship. Just make it clear that it's not or that it is, because this is just getting obnoxious. So Kathy's like, yeah, you know, I'm encouraging her to date and to get out there. I mean, I think she is dating, Kathy. Okay. Hate to break it to you, but I think she's dating. All right. So our last topic today is Real Housewives of New Jersey. So we're going to start with kind of the biggest news, which is that it has come out that John Fuda's legal issues and arrests were a little bit more than weed when he was 17. Now, to me, this isn't like huge news because we kind of already knew that it was more than that, that it had to do with like heavier drugs, that he was older. Like I remember seeing some sort of like police documents or something before. I can't remember where it was, like Reddit or Twitter or something. But now somebody actually went and found like the, you know, how you can go and find like old newspaper articles and get the hard copy of them or whatever. So somebody went and found this. And this is the headline that I'm going to read you. So at this time, actually, before I even read the headline, at this time, his name was not John Fuda, because as we all know, he changed his last name. So his actual last name was Jonathan Datria. So the headline is Three Arrested in Home Invasion, and it names him in it. There's also a picture of him with his name under it, and it's definitely him. I would know that chin anywhere. So basically, five people were bound with duct tape at gunpoint during a home invasion on Portland Avenue Monday night, police said. Three suspects were caught in neighboring Passaic, but police said they believe four more are at large. Jonathan Datria, 20, of Elmwood Park. And then they talk about the other face charges of robbery, the other people, robbery, theft, and unlawful possession of a gun and drugs. The three are being held in the Clifton Municipal Lockup on $250,000 bail with no 10% option. At 11 p.m. Monday, seven people inside two cars pulled up to the apartment on Portland Avenue where two 24-year-old roommates were entertaining three female guests, Clifton Police Detective Captain Robert Rowan said. As three people kept watch outside, the intruders kicked in the door of the apartment and rushed in brandishing guns, he said. The suspects allegedly ordered all five victims to get down on the kitchen floor where they were bound with duct tape. Rowan said the suspects then demanded one of the male residents to tell them the location of a stash of drugs and money. When the victim did not cooperate, the suspects pistol whipped and kicked him as he lay on the floor, Rowan said. The suspects then allegedly ransacked the apartment, taking cell phones, $400, and jewelry. Okay, so a short time later, they were arrested. They were wearing ski masks, etc. Okay, so, and then it has the picture, like I said. So, you know, a lot of people are like, what the fuck? Like, this is, you know, this is a lot worse than what, you know, Rachel and John are making it out to be. You know, because he was 20, he duct taped people, pistol whipped, robbed five people for their money, jewelry, and phones, a lot more than selling weed. The original person who broke this or posted it was Bravo versus Everybody on Instagram at Bravo versus Everybody. So I think it's not even that, like, it is that he did this, because this is terrible. This is like a violent crime. This is much worse than, you know, selling weed or like, you know, and he's been giving Teresa such a hard time about the mortgage fraud thing because she like signed her name on something. This is much worse. But listen, it doesn't even matter because I think the big thing that's kind of driving people crazy is how hard Rachel and John have been going about how he was just a kid. He was like, he talks about it like he was like a little boy that was 5 years old. He talks about it like he's a little boy who's 5 years old right now. Like, does he know he's an adult man now? Like, it's like he's like getting upset for his past self. Like, he's like, you know, would you talk about someone's children? John, you're not a child. Okay. And then, and he was trying to kind of make this argument that he was a child when this happened. Well, he wasn't. Okay. And he keeps saying it's a little bit of selling weed. It's not a big deal. And like throwing his, like, his ex under the bus for her drug stuff. And it's like, dude, I think there's a reason you were dating her and she was dating you. And I think you're kind of two of the same type of people. Sorry. You're both kind of cut from the same cloth. And I don't think you're that much better than her. Like, maybe, yes, maybe you've gotten it together now. And people can get it together and people can change. And maybe he has grown and changed from this and he wouldn't do something like this now or partake in illegal stuff. I have no idea. Okay. Maybe he changed his name because he wanted to like start fresh and all that. I can understand that. I could see that. But just the way that they've been harping on it and just going over it over and over again about how it's such a lie and, you know, he would never do something. He was just a kid. Like, that's the part that's very annoying. Just very annoying. Because they've been pleading how he's so innocent. And it's like, if you keep pleading that and talking about it over and over again, you know, if you protest too much, people are going to go searching. And that's exactly what happened. If they had just kind of shut up about it and just let it go, right? And just, you know, been like, oh, shut up, Teresa, you're stupid, or just something like that. I don't even know if it would have gotten this far. But at the end of the day, you came on reality TV. This is what happens, especially when you never shut up about something. It's like you did it to yourself, kind of. So the other thing that's been kind of going on is that, you know, I talked about this last week about Kathy Wakili and her comments against Melissa Gorgon, Watch What Happens Live, and, you know, saying that, you know, it's so convenient that Melissa wants to like make up with her now and all that kind of stuff. So Melissa on her podcast said, you know, I tried to say something nice and I didn't like the attitude she has. And I think it's weird. And then she said, you know, it's your loss. Stay on your side of the street. All good. I tried to like say whatever, to say something nice and just, and like, just whatever. I don't think, I like to like the attitude. Sorry, this is a direct quote, so I can't change it. But I'm like, it's weird. We haven't seen her in a very long time. So I just thought it was a little petty. And then Joe Gorga, who was also on the podcast, said that he ran into Richie Wakili and that Richie was really rude and nasty to him. And Joe goes on to basically say the Wakilis are bitter. Yeah, it sounds like they are. But I mean, it kind of also sounds like they might have a valid reason to be bitter. Just saying. Okay. And also, like, if you know these people don't like you and you know that they're bitter and all that, like, why do you keep bringing them up and talking about how you would like to make up with them and stuff? Like, it's, I don't know. I just think that's kind of weird. So, you know, there's this whole other thing happening with this cake thing. So, you know, if you remember from Sunday's episode of The Real Housewives of New Jersey, there was this Fuda's pajama party cake that Danielle made, Danielle Cabral, and it had, you know, all the girls on it. And then it had kind of like a Jen character on it that was like falling off on the side. So Danielle posted about this on social media and she wrote, what did she write? You know, basically like just kind of shading Jen Aiden, how she's falling off the cake. And then she put hashtag one less monkey jumping on the bed. And a lot of people are upset about this, like saying it seems like racist since Jen is, you know, the only Middle Eastern woman on the show and she's Turkish, and that, you know, Jen's like character on the cake has like a darker skin color than the rest of them. And then Dolores, I guess, posted like a laughing face emoji or clapping emoji or something. And people were like getting mad about that and saying like, that's really rude that you would, you know, support this like petty post. But Dolores has responded. And Dolores says, I would never respond on any of this, but that comment was a mistake. And I would like everyone to know I would never laugh at something derogatory towards Jennifer Aiden. And then Jennifer Aiden responded and said, thanks, babe. I knew it had to be a misunderstanding. Love you. And that's it. So it seems like that's wrapped up. But I need this season of Jersey to come to an end because it is like it hasn't been as bad as I thought it was going to be. And I think a lot of people are like, hey, the season's actually pretty good. I mean, I don't know if I'd go that far. I think our expectations were so low that we think it's a decent season, but it's really not. Like, it's okay. I don't know. The Sunday's episode was really boring to me. Like, the whole slumber party, I thought it was so boring. I wasn't big on that episode. To me, I'm ready for the season to end. I'm good to just fast forward to, like, the rail scene where everybody goes crazy and then just tell me who's on the cast for next season and let's call it a day. Like that's the point that I'm at. So yeah. And I think a lot of Jersey fans feel that way right now because it's just, it's enough. Okay, everyone. So we're going to end off there. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I hope you enjoyed the show and you are now in the know for everything Bravo. I will see you on Sunday for the next Richard Sisters and Wednesday next week for the next Bravo Weekly News and on Patreon tomorrow if you are joining me for some Ladies of London. See you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me, and this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.